but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, the SEC and the Big Ten are at it again. They want it all for themselves. It's not enough that they're getting more money in their media rights deal and larger distributions from the college football playoff. They would like a guarantee of automatic qualification. They want four teams each from the Big Ten and the SEC in a potential 16-team playoff. Stuart Mandel of The Athletic wrote a fantastic piece over the weekend outlining the absurdity of it, and he's here to talk about it. Where do we start on this, Stuart? Like, how fired up were you when you heard this kind of come around again?
Hey, John, I was fired up, you know, back in February when this first began percolating. It almost felt like like they were trolling us. And then I hadn't heard much recently. And then, you know, the conferences are having their spring meetings right now. The Big Ten had theirs last week, the SEC right now. And we come to learn that not only has this idea of the Big Ten and SEC giving themselves twice as many automatic qualifiers as the ACC and Big 12, but now we've gone from talking about 14 teams to 16 teams, and not just a straight up, you know, one plays 16, two plays 15, but a play-in tournament and double byes and just the most convoluted possible postseason concept you could come up with. And so I did feel compelled to write that column this weekend because I felt like nobody else was raising the alarm. Like, this is a potentially disastrous development for college football, and it needs to be treated as such.
I am worried about what's going to happen. And is this just some saber rattling? Are they testing the market to see how much blowback they're going to get? Or do you think they're legitimately about to move forward with trying to take four each?
I think the Big Ten commissioner, Tony Petitti, is dead set on it because he is a TV executive and he views everything as TV programming. And if they can get four automatic berths, then they can hold their own play-in tournament the last weekend of the regular season with 16, you know, the 3-6 teams playing for those last two automatic qualifiers. So I think this is all just TV programming to him, an opportunity to sell more games to the networks. It's a little more unclear where Greg Sankey is on it because he's much more, at least in the past, has been much more focused on the bigger picture than just the SEC. But it doesn't feel like it now, you know, based on his comments in Destin. He just hasn't backed down from this at all. So my hope is at some point, my hope is the SEC is looking at it as more of a, you know, we're going to play hardball for a while and then kind of come back to some sort of compromise. But right now, we haven't gotten any indication yet that that's what's happening.
Stuart Mandel of The Athletic is with us. All right, so why not just, because I think in most years, Stuart, they're going to get four, they'll get five, they'll get more than the minimum. Why the assurance or why the guarantee? Is there some reason why they need that guarantee?
Well, the two reasons you hear of, one is what I just said about, you know, getting to, if you're somebody who thinks the conference championship games as they were don't matter as much now because you know the two teams in the Big Ten and SEC title games are going to go to the playoff, then you can turn it into a more of a full-fledged play-in weekends, right? So there's that. And then at least in the SEC, you hear a lot about they're upset about the selection committee. They're upset that their teams got left out last year. They felt like Alabama, Ole Miss played much tougher schedule than Indiana, SMU, and that the committee's not properly rewarding them, and therefore, you know, if you do it this way, it's based on conference standings, and the committee doesn't have as much influence. What's ridiculous about that to me is the selection committee is not like the federal government, right? It's not some organization that you have no control over. the previous commissioners, the Jim Delaney's, the Mike Fives, created the playoff committee out of thin air and wrote the policies that they follow. There's no reason why the current commissioners can't say, you know, we want to keep the committee, but we want them to be more focused on strength of schedule, maybe come up with a certain metric they want to use. Heck, go back to the BCS computers. I don't care. There's ways to solve the scheduling issue, schedule strength issue, that don't involve weighting the whole playoff bracket towards you, doing these silly play-in tournaments that, frankly, I think will greatly diminish the regular season before it.
The proposal, you called it cockamamie. Will you get support? Will others see it? Like, the Big 12 and the ACC can't be happy about this. Do they have enough clout? Do they have enough leverage to make a difference? Or is this just going to be what the SEC and the Big 10 wants, the SEC and the Big 10 gets?
First of all, I had to ask Gemini to spell that word for me. I don't think I've ever actually used it in print before.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm curious to see is, it's one thing for sports writers to write nasty columns. It's another if, you know, we saw a congressman in Pennsylvania tweet concern about it. You know, will other politicians say, well, wait a minute, two conferences are colluding to weight the college football postseason in their favor? It reminds me a lot of the BCS. The BCS was 16 years of people complaining about the format, them tweaking the format to respond to whatever the last controversy was. But ultimately, it wasn't that that brought down the BCS. It was that they were starting to get heat from attorney generals bringing antitrust investigations and Congress holding hearings. And eventually, that led to not just a four-team playoff, but a playoff that was wide open to the Group of Five just as much as it was to the major conferences. Getting rid of the notion that a Group of Five had to be ranked a certain spot to get into one of those bowls. It seems to me you're going back down the opposite direction. Yes, you're going to reserve one bid for the Group of Five, so technically it's inclusive of them, but you're still saying these two conferences, no matter where their teams are ranked in a given year, will get more bids than the Big 12 and the ACC and the Group of Five. It feels, like I said, very BCS.
I am looking at it, and you're right. It feels like it's a regression into the old days of like, hey, wait a minute. I thought we wanted to settle this on the field. Greg Sankey, made comment at, you know, his meetings with his SEC members where he said, hey, this coordinated, I'm paraphrasing here, this coordinated news release by the Big 12 and the ACC where they talked about the greater good, he more or less called it cute, and he said he's interested in finding real solutions. Do you believe Jim Phillips and Brett Yormark coordinated that? It feels a little like they were echoing the same points.
Clark Williams from the Big 12 noted on Twitter that they didn't actually put out a statement. That was something that Brett Yormark said to a reporter. I don't remember which one. But they did use that exact same terminology about the good of the game. It's kind of sad what's happened behind the scenes. You know, you used to always hear when it was Delaney, Slive, Swofford, Bowlesby, hey, you know, they may disagree about things, but at the end of the day, it's very collegial. I don't hear that anymore. It seems like there's a, you know, college football standoff between the SEC and Big Ten and the ACC and Big 12, and of course, the ACC and Big 12 have no leverage in it. So all they can do, really, is put out statements like that, do things to kind of shame the SEC and Big Ten in public. But if this were about that, it would already be dead. They know. They're not oblivious. They know how unpopular this is with college football fans at large. They don't care. They are continuing to use the threat of, well, if you don't like it, we'll just go start our own thing. And you kind of wish the ACC and Big 12 would call them on that and just say, okay, fine. Let's see you go have a national championship that doesn't include 70% of the country. Like, let's see how credible that would be if Clemson goes 12-0 one year, but Alabama claims they're the national champion without having participated in a tournament with them. But we just haven't reached that point yet.
I am wondering, like, about that threat, Stuart, and it came up earlier in the show. A caller called in and said, hey, more or less, you know, what's the threat that the Big Ten and the SEC would take their ball and go home? I'm with you that I think, it would take a lot of guts, and they might risk some political blowback, but do you think they're at that point, or is this a game of chicken where, you know, where the Big 12 and the ACC need to kind of stand their ground, or what do you see the leverage point being?
I don't think they want to do that. I don't think they want to go off on their own, but I do think that the people in those conferences, in the SEC in particular, like whatever you and I think is the gap between those two and the other two, they think it's much bigger. They think basically we're the NFL and those guys are, you know, Arena League. Maybe not quite that extreme, but you know what I mean. And so it's like they want to be respected. They want to be treated like they're the NFL, but they're not yet willing to say, but they want to be treated that way while also staying in business with the peons. Because they know, you know, if you, like if they go and do that, that's not just the end of CFP as we know it. That's the end of March Madness as we know it, right? That's the end of a lot of sports that, frankly, those conferences need the other teams. It would be a huge move. So I don't think they're looking to do that necessarily. But they want to be treated as if that's a valid threat, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I keep wondering, Stuart, too, about everybody else. If there was a Pac-12, if the Power Five still existed, I keep, you know, thinking to myself, gosh, did the SEC and the Big Ten see the weakness in the ecosystem and, you know, and go for it? Or was this inevitable? What do you think? If the Pac-12 was still a thing and it was a Power Five, would there be enough leverage from three conferences to combat some of this stuff, or would that have been moot?
I just don't think it would have reached this point. You know, I think you think back to 2021 when they first announced, you know, Greg Sankey was on that subcommittee of three commissioners and Notre Dame's AD at the time, Jack Swarbrick, who devised that format that we have now. And I remember clear as day, Greg Sankey saying one of the reasons they need to do this, you know, he would keep saying, well, we at the SEC, like we'd be happy staying at four. We need to do this because he didn't say it exactly this way, but the Pac-12 missing the playoff year after year after year is not good for college football. Like the whole West part of the country not being part of the postseason at the end is not good for college football. There is more of a let's do it for the greater good thing. And then right around that same time, they took Texas and Oklahoma. A year later, the Big Ten responds. The next thing you know, the Pac-12 is out of business. And I just think ever since then, it's been a free-for-all. You know, as Ralph Russo, my colleague, says it best, like, the order of events there made it so that the 12-team playoff that they came up with became outdated before they even had a chance to stage it. And so now you can't really, the future of the CFP is so deeply entwined with realignment, you can't really separate them. So I think they're still trying to figure out what this new landscape looks like, where there's, I guess what we would call Power Four, but in their minds it's a Power Two, and how the college football postseason should operate given that.
This arrangement, as you wrote in your piece, against the spirit of college football, how does it impact the regular season games in your mind if 80% of the playoff spots are already accounted for?
I think if you work backwards a little bit, you know, what impacts the regular season in two ways. One, and nobody's explained this, if you do this and you base who gets the automatic berths based on their conference standings, why do you need to have non-conference games? This huge Texas-Ohio State game that starts this year, if this were in that model, would it be considered like a preseason game? Because it has no bearing on who gets the automatic berths to the CFP. So there's that. And then there's, you know, when you think about this play-in tournament that that the Big Ten is, you know, wants to do, it would be third place versus sixth place the last week of the season, which last year, by the way, sixth place was 8-4 Iowa. So you're telling me the most important game on Thanksgiving weekend will not be Ohio State, Michigan. It'll be the game, whatever game determines who gets that sixth spot. It's depressing, frankly, John, to think about that.
Yeah, and I keep thinking back to the BCS era, Stuart. Like, we all complained that this was being the game. The matchup was being set by computers. It wasn't settled on the field, and now we're going to grant the Big Ten and the SEC the possibility of four auto berths and then two each to the Big 12 and the ACC. What's next? What's the next step here, Stuart, as you see in this? There's been a lot of outcry, people like yourself, people like Pat Forty, Ross Dellinger upset about this. What's the next move?
There's a meeting in mid-June, I think, when the there's usually a conference around then of all of the commissioners of Division One, and then the Power Four, Power Five, whatever it is now, will break away and hold their own meeting. That I think will be the next time they're all in the same room. Should be really, I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that room after the events of this past week. Whether they actually make any real decisions at time, I don't know. It could continue to drag out as these things always do. But there is a drop-dead deadline of end of September. You know, I mean, ESPN is paying a lot of money to show these games, and you're telling them right now, hey, we don't even know how many teams are going to be in it. We can't even tell you what dates the games are going to be yet, because we haven't decided that. So there is a deadline in that contract that they have to decide that stuff by, but it's still not for another 4 or 5 months.
You wrote about the damage that a predetermined nonsensical bracket could cause. I'm worried about fans. Is this going to draw new fans to the sport? Is it going to turn off fans? I think we're already encountering some fans who are saying, hey, my team doesn't have a chance. Now we're talking about the bracket being predetermined before the season even starts. Might as well just pick the teams. Put Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, and Penn State in from the Big Ten, and then everybody else plays for an at-large berth. What does this do to the sport and the popularity of college football in your mind?
You know what? I said it at the time that that Fox basically orchestrated the end of the Pac-12 by first taking, you know, putting USC and UCLA in the Big Ten, and then, like, they don't care because they feel like, you know, Fox thinks about it like the NFL. And if you have like a big anchor game in each time slot, like Oregon, Ohio State last year, like Texas, Georgia, like people will watch that no matter how the, you know, rest of the season looks. And they're right. My concern is, like, that's the headline, right? You see on Tuesday, Fox drew a 18 point something million people for this game, right? So they make their money. Like you said, what about, you know, you saw what happened to Oregon State and Washington State. I think, you know, even though Cal and Stanford got in a Power Four, it feels like the same thing happened to them. You know, now you're telling the Big 12, hey, you guys are second-class citizens. You're telling the ACC, you guys are second-class citizens unless you're, you know, Florida State, Clemson, Miami. Those people could start to peel away. I think, you know, you've reached a point of how many things can you do to tick off the college football fan before there's finally a point of no return? It's been very resilient to this point. People love their school. They love fall Saturdays. I've seen no indication that, for instance, NIL in the portal has caused people to stop watching college football. But realignment coupled with a really bad CFP idea, I think could do that. So you kind of hope saner heads prevail. They are still talking about what I would consider to be the smart thing to do. If you want to go to 16, five automatic berths like you have now, and 11 at largest, up from seven, I'd be fine with that. You know, I wouldn't have said that a while back, but compared to the alternative, I would definitely take that one.
I would as well. Stuart Mandel, keep the heat up, man. I appreciate your work. You can read him at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter. I appreciate you joining us, Stuart. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right, there he goes. From The Athletic, the SEC and the Big Ten, they would like to take it all for themselves. I don't think fans should be okay with this. I even think fans of the Big Ten and the SEC, hearing from some of them who say, great, this is cool for my conference, but I don't like this. And I don't blame you. It's not in the spirit of competition. It's not in the spirit of deciding it on the field. If you want to go to 16, go to 16. If you want to have the conference champions automatically qualify, that's fine. I'm all right with that even. But I don't need, hey, we're going to take four from here and four from here and two for here and two for here. And then, you know, we'll throw a bone to the group of six. I don't need that. Just let's put the best 16 teams in the bracket and go have at it. And the truth is, the Big Ten and the SEC, they're going to dominate that bracket. They're going to be picked more often than they're not. I want you to leave it here. We've got some parting thoughts coming up.